Whew. All right, y'all, let's do it. Two favors. One, if you have a Bible, we're in Numbers 13. Yep, that's a big jump. We're in Numbers 13 this morning. Going to start in verse 1. We'll skip around a little bit, but Numbers 13. Also going to ask that you grab a bulletin. If you didn't get one of these when you came in, we have a digital version. We want you to take notes. Guys, that's how we're changed. We start to hear the Word of God. We take notes. We start to think about the Word of God. We actually give you questions. Go home and discuss with those people that came to church. If you're in our small groups, this is what we do in small group. We sit around and we talk about this stuff until it sinks in, until we get it, okay? That's how we're changed. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to pray for our time in God's Word, and then we are going to jump in. Father, great morning. God, we're so thankful for the change that you're bringing to people's lives through the ministries of this church and just the opportunity you give us to be a part of this amazing story that you're telling. God, we ask now, as we do every week, we want to pause and step back and say, Holy Spirit, come and have your way. You're the teacher of this church. I pray you would fill the pulpit this morning, fill our minds and our hearts that we might exalt Jesus Christ. Help us see Jesus clearly in these Old Testament stories that we might understand how our lives should be positioned to live for him. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Well, guys, last week, man, if you missed it, go back onto our Facebook page, YouTube channel, whatever. Check it out, because last week was really important. We talked about the law. We talked about the giving of the Ten Commandments. And the law, it's a big deal, guys. Most of us, in fact, when we walk through the doors and we're kind of feeling down ourselves, we're judging ourselves, it's because we have a tendency to live according to the old covenant, even though that Jesus came to fulfill that covenant. So we don't interact well with the law. We let it still reflect on us. But that was kind of the point last week, is that when Jesus died on the cross, when we put our faith in him, he takes that mirror that is meant to be the law, that's meant to show us how short of God's glory that we fall, and he readjusts that mirror so it reflects on his glory and his perfection. And if you're in Christ, that's what the law points to now. It points to Jesus, not you, and so you don't have to walk around in condemnation and shame. Jesus removed all that, and that was a really important message for us. So this morning, also important, we're going to study, and we're going to skip ahead. Okay, we're going to skip ahead quite a bit to the Israelites preparing to enter the promised land, only they're not going to do it. And so in that, just know there's a few things that we're going to miss. Now, last week we said, hey, it took them about 6 to 8 weeks from the Red Sea to get to Mount Sinai. They're there for, I told you, 11 months. That sounds like a long time to get 10 commandments. It wasn't just 10 commandments. God said, hey, if I'm going to be your God and you're going to be my people, there's got to be rules to live by. So there we go. He says, there's got to be a place for me to dwell, and he says, here's the instructions for the tabernacle. Then they had to build the tabernacle. He says, there's got to be a way for your sin to be atoned for. That's the sacrificial system and all that that entails. God also does a census at that point, and he counts everybody per tribe. He divides them up. They've got leaders and sub-leaders and all this kind of stuff, so that goes on and before they leave, and then the Bible says the pillar cloud rises and sets off, and they begin to follow it. So that's going to get us kind of to where we need to go. I want you to know, though, we're missing some stuff, right? And I want you to know that it's okay, because the point of the Bible, right? Bible study isn't about information. It's about transformation. I'm reading it following that theme. God, what is your theme of redemption? Every story that I read, I should be looking into, how does this point to Jesus, right? And so we're not going to talk about the golden calf. We're not going to get into that. We're not even going to talk about the tabernacle, which, hello, everything in the tabernacle points to Jesus. It's really important. He comes in John 1, says, and the Word became flesh and made his dwelling, made his tabernacle amongst us, for crying out loud. And we're skipping it. You're like, are you kidding me? Man, 26 weeks, we're flying, y'all. We're flying, right? And so we're not going to get into those. We're actually skipping the entire book of Leviticus. You're welcome. You're welcome. So we're just jumping right into Numbers, and you are welcome for that. So with that in mind, guys, if you have your Bibles, I'm in Numbers chapter 13. I want to tell you that what we read the command of God telling Moses to send spies in the promised land. If you read Deuteronomy 1, It actually, Moses is recounting everything. He actually says that the people asked to send spies first. So then God basically blesses that and tells Moses, yes, send them. I think Moses, personally, my personal interpretation, I think Moses adds some fleshly stuff in here because he tells them, go check out the cities and check out the people. God just said, send the spies to go check out the land that I am giving you. And Moses was like, how fortified? I don't know. I'm just saying, I think he plays into these fears, but we'll see. But here is what the Word of God says, Numbers chapter 13, starting verse 1. The Lord spoke to Moses, send men to scout out the land of Canaan I am giving to the Israelites. That's what God says. That's it. One verse, okay? Then he adds, send one man who is a leader among them from each of their ancestral tribes. Moses then sends them from the wilderness of Paran to the Lord's by the Lord's command. All the men were leaders in Israel. Now skip down with me to verse 17. It says, when Moses sent them to scout out the land of Canaan, he told them, go up this way to the Negev, then go up into the hill country, see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. Is the land they live in good or bad? Are the cities they live in encampments or fortifications? Is the land fertile or unproductive? Are there trees in it or not? Be courageous. Bring back some fruit from the land. It was the season for the first ripe grapes. So they went up and they scouted out the land from the wilderness of Zin as far as Rehob, near the entrance of Hamath. They went through the Negev and they came to Hebron, where I wrote this down. Ahiman, Sheshai and Talmai lived. These are descendants of Anak. They're giants, basically, those three guys. So when you guys think about Goliath, right, David and Goliath later, some people think it says that these folks are ran out of the land and they settle somewhere else. Well, the place that they settle is actually the place that Goliath comes from. Okay, so we think that's kind of maybe some connections. You guys follow me? All right, cool. So that's what's going on. It says that's where they were living. Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. When they came to the valley of Eshol, they cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes, which was carried on a pole by two men. Okay, one cluster of grapes. I don't know if you've been to HEB or Walmart lately. My clusters aren't that big, okay? It's like one bag, $72, just a few little grapes, okay? And so they've got a pole of this sucker, two men carrying it, weighted down, just one huge cluster of grapes. So this is like pretty fruitful place, right? They also took some pomegranates and figs. That place was called the Valley of Eshol because of the cluster of grapes the Israelites cut there. At the end of 40 days, they returned from scouting out the land. Now, this is where we're about to get off track, okay? So follow me. He said, the men went back to Moses, Aaron, the entire Israelite community, the wilderness of Paran and Kadesh, and they brought back a report for the whole community, and they showed them the fruit of the land. Okay, pretty cool. Like, whoa, they had to go, whoa. Like, that's pretty amazing. But then it says this, they reported to Moses, we went to the land where you sent us. Indeed, it's flowing with milk and honey, and here's some of its fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong, and the cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev. The Hethites and Jebusites and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea along the Jordan. And then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, let's go up now and take possession of the land, because we'll certainly conquer it. But the men who had gone up with him responded, we can't attack the people because they're stronger than we are. So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land that they had scouted. The land that they passed through to explore is one that will devour its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great size. They're going to convince the people to not follow through with God's plan. This is how the story goes, right? Now, a little backstory. There's one thing I left out. Before they left Sinai, do you know what they celebrated? It was the first anniversary of Passover. Okay, so before they leave camp, they literally celebrate the first anniversary of when God shows up to deliver them from slavery. They eat the meal, the Passover lamb. They're remembering, hey, remember when we did this last year? And God protected our homes because we were covered by the blood of the lamb. But the firstborn of every Egyptian died. You remember how that forced Pharaoh's hand, and he said, get out of here. And then we left, but then he pursued us, and we got up against the sea. But then God told Moses, hold out your staff, and he did, and God parted the waters. Do you remember how we walked across on dry ground and Pharaoh and his army was getting close and we could hear him? And then God said, Moses, hold out your staff again. And the sea swallowed up the entire army. You remember that, guys? Wasn't that awesome? Like, they just celebrated that. And the spies come back. And Caleb's like, let's go. And the people are like, heck no. Like, that's the story. They go from remembering the providence and the triumph and the power of God to going, I don't think we can do it. And the whole point is, yeah, you can't. That's why God said, I'm giving it to you. God never said, you got to go do it. He said, I'm gonna give it to you, right? So let's talk about that, and hopefully we'll learn from their mistakes. Just two observations, some application, and I've got a gospel connection for you. Here's the first thing I want you to see this morning, guys, is God's promises aren't free of giants. God's promises aren't free of giants, but that they are full of fruit and the assurance of his presence. God's promises aren't free of giants, but they are full of fruit and the promise of his presence. The land was good, y'all. The land was exactly as God had described it, to a T. They had just celebrated Passover. And like when literally the enemy was swallowed up, and now they cower in fear. Now they overthink it. Am I talking to anybody here? Now they overanalyze. Now they're paralyzed because it demands that they believe in something that they can't see. I'm not speaking to anybody this morning, am I? None of y'all struggle with this stuff. Look at their report again on the screen, verse 27 and 28. The report to Moses, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. Here's some of its fruit. However, the people living in the land are strong and the cities are large and they're fortified. When they talk about the fruit, here's what they mean. Verse 23, right? They cut down a branch with a single cluster of grapes that had to be carried on a pole by two men. It is literally just as God describes. See, God described the land to Moses. When he's calling Moses, he says, hey, I want you to go to Pharaoh, and you're going to tell him, let my people go. And in that process, God actually describes to Moses the promise that he made to Abraham. He said, this is where I'm sending you. And look at the promise. This is how God describes it. Verse 8 of Exodus 3, I've come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them from that land to a good and spacious land. Okay, a land flowing with milk and honey. Okay, now follow the rest of it. The territory of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. That is how God described the land. Okay, so first, focus on the fruit. God says it's a land of abundance. He says it's flowing with milk and honey. That's a description as abundance, as if you walked into the land and when you stepped into it, it's not water coming up from the ground. It's just you know, blessing flowing from the earth. That's the description. So God says it's full of fruit, but he also says it's full of people. From the beginning, y'all, God says, here's the land I'm sending to you. It has inhabitants. Okay? It does. He literally says the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. He says, like, this is what is there. Yo, this is why this matters. You know that God promises the same thing for us? Do you know that? This is our story. Guys, God looks at his people, okay? John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I've come that you might have life. All right? I'm going to say that again because this is one of my favorite verses. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that you might have life. You know what that is? That is a promise of abundance, but it's also a promise that there's an enemy there in the territory. And it doesn't matter that there's an enemy in the territory, because God says, I'm with you because I'm fighting for you. Like, you don't have to worry about that stuff. It's going to be there, but it will not be your undoing. This is what Jesus promised his followers. He said, hey, listen, I'm always going to be with you, and life is not going to be easy, but it's going to be worth it. John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you might have peace. You're going to have suffering in the world, but be courageous. Ready? Why? Because I've overcome the world. If I'm with you, we've got this. That's the message of the gospel, right? So guys, I'm not trying to point anybody out. I think a lot of Christians struggle with fear. And I'm not saying, like, you can't leave your house. I mean, I think we're afraid of God. I think we're afraid of letting go. I think we're afraid of what we see as blind trust. And so, man, we live our life kind of like, we're like, Jesus, take the wheel! But, like, our knees up there are still on it. You know what I'm saying? Some of you drive like me. And God says, man, that's not what faith is about, right? It's not what faith is about. So that's our first thing. I want you to know that God's promises aren't free of giants, but they're full of fruit and the assurance of his presence, all right? So that's God's like, hey, man, you're going to face this stuff, but I'm there. That's the first thing. Here's the second thing. I think this is huge. I want you to know this morning that our fear of the unknown can be so overwhelming that we would rather return to the slavery that we know than trust God to provide a way forward. Whoo! Guys, our fear of the unknown can be so overwhelming that we would rather return to the slavery that we know than trust God to provide a way forward. Like, this is probably worth the price of admission this morning, okay? Guys, our flesh response to God's promises are so strong. Like, our flesh response to God's promises and what they require is so strong that we actually, rather than trust God, we actually, like the Israelites, more often than not say, nah, I'm just going to stick with that old stuff I know. I'm just going to go back to my Egypt, right? I'm going to go back to my slavery. This is our story, y'all. This is our story. We all do this. This is us. We cling to that old reliable sin that we know, and we know it leads to bondage, but it's comfortable, right? God's like, hey, I'm the God of the uncomfortable. I'm the God that says come. I'm the God that says trust. I'm the God that says walk by faith, not by sight. And we're like, I don't know, God. I mean, those promises sound good, but I think I'll just self-medicate with this thing here. I think, listen, I know this is a broken cistern, but I know there's water at least. You calling me out to someplace I don't know. What if? And we overanalyze. We get stuck in those trappings of what if God doesn't? What if God, wait, are you, listen, just break this down with me for a second. You mean what if God's not God? Well, if he's not God, what's all this for in the first place? But if he's God, what are we doing? If he is who he says he is, and he is provider, right? If he is protector, if he is in control, if he is sovereign, if he's good, if he'll use, even if I get hurt, he goes, oh, I'll use that for good. If that's who God is, then what am I doing? Why would I sit here and go, no, I'd rather cling to those things that enslaved me before. And y'all, every single one of us does it. We call them now, here's our PC term, coping mechanisms. Yeah, same old sin, that's what that is. That's going back to Egypt over and over and over again because you know what you'll get there. You follow me? Is that freedom? Is that experiencing the presence of Christ? Look, can I ask y'all a question? Be real in church. Anybody experience the presence of Christ when they're choosing to go back to those old broken systems? Nope. You feel lost again, don't you? You feel ashamed again, don't you? You feel condemnation again, don't you? You feel isolation again, don't you? When you go, you're making a choice to go, I'm going to go back to slavery, and all the feelings of slavery return. But guess what? They're fake because you're free. It's been done. It's finished. All you got to do now is say, I'm sorry, Jesus, I blew it. Forgiven once and for all. Like this is who we are now. So what I'm saying is at some point, guys, we must understand the kingdom of God is all about faith. Here's how the Bible puts it. Ready? This is why this matters so much. Because I honestly believe Christians, we're actually afraid of faith, which is a huge problem. Because without faith, we don't experience any of the promises of God. Okay? So some of you that are fear strugglers, you know it. So I'm just saying you want to experience the life, the abundant life God talks about. At some point, you actually have to embrace faith. Okay? And so here's our gospel connection. This is why this message is in this series. This is why it matters. Ready? I want you to know that faith is the only way to enter the kingdom of God. Period. Faith is the only way to enter the kingdom of God. It is the only way to enter the promised life that God offers to his children through faith. It's the only way, right? That's it. Hebrews 11:6 says this, powerful verse. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Right? Without faith, it is impossible to please God, since the one who draws near to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. Listen, if God's standard is righteousness and there is no one righteous, it is impossible for us to be pleasing to God without faith. Which is why it says in Ephesians 2:8, for you are saved by grace through faith. It's not from yourselves. It is God's gift, not from works, so that no one can boast. So here's what I want you to see this morning. Maybe this helps. So the promised land is not just a geographical location. It is, but it's not just. Kind of like most of the stuff in the Bible. It is, but it's not just. So the promised land is not just a geographical location. It's actually a promise of something much bigger. It's a promise of being God's children, of being his people, of living with him forever. That's what it's a picture of. You guys following me? And the only way to enter the promise is in faith. So these guys say, no faith. We choose fear. God says, guess what? No promise. No presence. Like I'm going to be here with you. You're not going to experience the blessing I had. The stuff I had in store for you, you guys are going to miss it completely. Ready? Here's how bad you'll miss it. You're going to die. Without faith, you're going to die. That sounds like the gospel, doesn't it? So like without faith, you can't enter into the promise. That's what Ephesians 2:8 is saying. By God's grace, we're saved through faith. It's the way we enter into the life of God. It's what the kingdom of God is about, y'all. Okay? Write this down somewhere if you can. The kingdom of God is about parting seas. The kingdom of God is about finding the lost. The kingdom of God is about healing the broken. The kingdom of God is about bringing the dead back to life. See, the kingdom of God is the kingdom of possibilities, not the kingdom of impossibilities. Because it's king, ready? He is able. He is able. And so everything you face in life, when you go, I don't know, can I do it? You need to ask yourself this question, is my God able? Is he able? Will I return back to my old trappings? Or will I trust God for what he's calling? Is God able to do this in me? And the answer, friends, is yes, he is. Yes, he is, 100%. So since we can't enter the kingdom without faith, can we just talk about faith for a moment? Can we define it? I know the Bible does, okay? I get this. I've read Hebrews 11:1 so many times, underlined it. I memorized it at one point. I'm going to put it on the screen for you, okay? This is what Hebrews 11:1 says. Now, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. I know that, okay? But I don't know that. You guys follow me? I know that, but I don't. That scripture for me in my flesh, I struggle with that. Anybody else struggle with that? So if you're like me and you struggle with that, I thought this week. I pray, God, would you give me, like, help me add some more meat to that. I know we're not adding to God, but like, how does that work out in my life? What does that look like in my life? And so I want to give you this definition. It's in your bulletin. Guys, faith means trusting. It's what it is. It's trust. Faith means trusting that God can accomplish what you cannot understand. Right? And this is what's required to enter the kingdom. Can you enter the kingdom? Can you become a child of God? Like, do you fully grasp that? Does anyone actually fully grasp how God took the perfect life of Jesus and applied all of his righteousness to your spiritual account in the heavenly realm? Does anybody know what his accounting system looks like or what the book looks like? Anybody really, like, are you solid in it? We can tag out. I'm not. I just know it says it happened, right? How does the death of Jesus pay for my sin? How does, when I put my faith in, how do I become a child of God? How am I covered? How does that work, God, in your economy? Like, I don't know, but you say it. And y'all, that's what faith is. Faith is trusting God, taking him at his word, even when you don't understand it. Okay? So faith means trusting that God can accomplish what you cannot understand. And get this, ready? Acting on that trust, even when you're afraid or unsure of how it will happen. That's what faith is. Faith is God says to me, go, and you go, but God, I don't know how to get there. And he said, just trust me. And you go, okay, Abraham, let's go. Faith is God says, I'm going to use you to deliver your neighbor from sin. And you go, God, I don't think I'm a deliverer. But he says, just go. And you just say, okay, and you just show up. And you share how what God did in your life. We trust God. We trust the Holy Spirit to do what he can do. Y'all, faith is believing God so much that I act even when I don't understand and even when I'm afraid. Does that make sense? And without faith, it is impossible to enter the promise of God, to enter the life of God, to be pleasing to God. Impossible. That's why this message matters, y'all. So what do we do with it? I'm going to give you some application and let you go. We're getting close to being up against it. Three things quick. Number one, man, this is huge. Ready? Stop romanticizing your past. Stop it. Stop it, stop it, stop it. You know you were stuck, okay? Stop acting like you weren't stuck. But we all do it, don't we? We're like, oh, well, you know, I used to do this to deal with it. So we, like, without thinking, we are so sinful, y'all. Our flesh, without thinking, like the Israelites, something comes our way that requires faith, and we go, ah, I think I'll go back over here. Like, we do it. Matthew's laughing. Like we do it, right? We do it. Man, we all do this. Requires faith, and I go, ah. I'm just going to stay and go back and deal with it the way I've always dealt with it. Well, guess what? The way that we always dealt with it is how we got stuck in the first place. Amen? Do you think God really wants you to go back and revisit all that trauma? Think he really wants you to go back and have to undo all that stuff again? How hard is it, by the way, to undo that stuff again? It's tough, right? Amen? Anybody realize that, like, hey, when you go back, God does forgive you, but your brain doesn't? Anybody else? Is it just me? Like, I'll go back, blah, I'm like, oh, you dummy. I'm like, oh, God, I'm sorry. And God's like, I love you, man, I know. And then I'm like, I'm the worst person ever. I just walk around in shame all day. I have to look to the cross and go, wait a second, that's why Jesus came. And eventually, you know, but it takes time. So here's my problem, and here's yours. We have a tendency, like them, to romanticize the past on stupid things, okay? Here's how dumb their mind is in the moment. Ready? They're going, you know what? Let's go back there because we could eat whatever we wanted to. That's what, like, listen, God is providing miraculous bread from heaven. He's causing quail from all over the earth to fly to where you are. First DoorDash in the Bible. And like showing up, God, this is God. And you're like, no, man, you know, back in Egypt, we kind of could go to the market and do some, really? Yeah, you were also enslaved and you got whipped every day. And they were trying to throw your boys into the Nile. Whoa, you really want to, but that's how dumb we are. We actually think, well, that's better over what? Over Chick-fil-A. That's it. Like, man, I'm just going back because over there, you know, it's like, man, I don't want any more of the quail. I want some chicken. And like, that's it. Y'all, they were enslaved. And so were we. You got to stop romanticizing the past. It was slavery. You were stuck in condemnation. It's what Jesus had to die for, to break you out of. Man, do not romanticize those days. Amen? All right. Number two. Place your full trust in Jesus. That's what the message is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So have faith. Have faith in Jesus Christ. Right? Step into the new life he promises. That's the only way to enter the promised life of God is faith in Jesus Christ. Why? God's standard. God's standard is righteousness. That's what it is. It's not good. Okay? So we can't make ourselves good enough. It's not about our behavior. It's not about what we do. His standard is right. There's no way for people that have messed up to be perfect again on their own. That's why Jesus came. And so Jesus came and he lived the law that we couldn't. Perfectly, then he died on the cross, paying the penalty for our sin. And the Bible says that anyone who believes in him, that he'll come and he'll literally cover all their sin once and for all, so that they become a child of God. When God looks down, he's no longer looking at their sinful record. He's looking at the perfect record of his son, Jesus. And he says, come to me, my child. Live with me forever. That's how we're reconciled to God. Okay? You've got, without that, guess what? Impossible to please God. Try to stand before God on your own, and he's going to be like, who are you? It's not good. It's not good. Okay? Lastly, when you see giants, it's one of my favorite sayings. When you see giants, remember you're in the right place. Man, I love you guys so much. I'm one of you. You know it. But so often, I have to remind people that when they face hardship, that's a sign they're in the right place. I don't know what it is about Christians today, but man, it's like we want the easy. You know what I'm saying? We want the instant. Like, I want instant popcorn, instant oatmeal. I want it fast, you know? And it's like we're just, like, we kind of think, like, we just forget that Jesus said, hey, in this world, you're going to have a hard, you're going to suffer. But it's okay because I'm with you. Like, Jesus chose to come and to suffer in our place. So we kind of forget that. And somewhere along the way, we bought into this, like, if I'm really following Jesus, I'm going to be healthy and wealthy and wise. And yeah, that prosperity stuff is so destructive. Y'all, it's so destructive. So when hardships come, here's what I do. I hope it helps you. I go, whew. God, I really want to go do that other thing. Like, we talk about it now. He's like, that's dumb. And I go, I know, I'm an idiot. We talk through it. Sometimes I still go, are you sure? And he's like, come on. But instead of just letting that stuff paralyze me, I remember, hey, God's got this. This is the God that slays giants, amen? Like he this God described exactly what the promised land was like, did he not? He describes exactly what the promised life is like. He says, listen, it's a life of abundance. It's a life overflowing with my fruit, right? Love and joy and peace and patience, gentleness, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Whoa, pouring out of you, pouring into others. Like, it's a life where other people come into the kingdom and you get so addicted to you, you're like, yeah. And yet you're being persecuted and you're still like, yeah. And it's like, it's and you don't care anymore because you figured out that that's what happens in this land. There are giants. But God's a giant slayer. It's who he is. And so I can either let the giants and the problems of life freeze me and incapacitate me and make me unuseful. I love you. I'm not trying to hurt your feelings. Frozen in fear. Or I can just go, this is Christian life, man. God's got this. God's got this giant. God, I trust you. God, I give it to you. God, I know you're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. So, Father, your provider, provide for this. Do this. Change this. Move that. Like, that's what Christianity is. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. All right? So, friends, I'm calling you to faith this morning. First and foremost, I'm calling my Christian brothers and sisters. I want to call you to start living out your faith radically. My brother Jackie did, right? That's why Nodden is here. That's why Nodden got baptized. Because Jackie was like, I'm going to live. If I believe this stuff, I have to invite others in. Amen? If I believe it, I got to share it. You follow me? Church, listen, if you believe it, you better be sharing it. You think the pastor say, hey, why does the pastor always tell me I need to invite somebody? Hello, it's the kingdom banquet. And it's like it's coming. It's like, mark your calendar. Jesus is returning. Let's go. He's told us to go out to the highways and the byways and our neighborhoods and our grocery stores and everyone that we do life with to invite them in. So we gotta own it, right? We gotta live it out. We gotta live, and I know there's gonna be giants along the way. Are you responsible for the giants? God said, it's the land I am giving you. It's given, not earned. Follow me? Changes it, okay. For those of you that have not put your faith and trust in Christ yet, guys, I don't know what to tell you other than the day is coming. It is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is how we enter the kingdom. So this morning, we want to give you an opportunity. Nodden just walked it out in front of you this morning, so we want to provide you. Maybe you're here and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ. I pray that today would be the day. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray a little prayer, and we're going to dim these lights a little bit. We don't want anybody looking around. But if you're here this morning and you watch Nodden's testimony, and today you've heard the gospel that it's impossible to please God without faith, and you hear God saying, listen, I've got a life for you. It's abundant. There'll be problems, but I'll have you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That's part of Nodden's testimony, wasn't it? That God's going to be with me wherever I go. If you want that, you know you don't have that, but you want that today. You say, man, I want to be a child of God today. I want to be made right with him. I want to believe in him. I want to live for him. I want to enter into this promised life I've heard. If that's you, would you just raise your hand where you are? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just raise your hand and say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I'm just going to give you a moment where you are. I see some little ones raising their hand, any adults. It's okay. Just raise your hand and say, man, that's me, Pastor. Yeah. I'm looking. It takes me a second, y'all. It's bright up here. Okay. Awesome. Even for my little ones, y'all, here's what we're going to do. We're just going to pray. This simple prayer, and a few weeks ago we prayed this prayer, and we couldn't see that somebody had raised their hand. They came forward afterwards and said, hey, I prayed that prayer and gave my life to Christ. And so we're going to pray together. And y'all, for the Christians in the room, we're not asking Jesus to do this again. We're praying for the people that might be on the fence. They're going, man, I want that, but I don't know if I'm ready. By the way, you're never going to be ready. That's what faith is about. So we're going to pray this prayer together. We're going to do it out loud. We're praying for you. We're being equipped to go out and share the gospel with others. Let's pray. Dear God, come to you right now. I just want to confess that I need you. I need help. I am stuck. I'm a slave to sin. And I can't do it. But Jesus, I heard today that you came to set me free. That by faith, you'll save me. You'll make me a child of God. I don't fully understand it yet, but in faith, I'm asking, please let it be. Make me a child of God. Jesus, I ask this in your name. Amen. Amen.